us. We have to get this sorted out. Hi, everyone. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And it is 9 o'clock. We are in a brand new space. I can't find my bearings right now. And I don't know where the camera is. Oh, the camera's over there. Okay. And where am I? I am all over the place today. Do I need to move over a little bit? You can see my hands. So we've just moved into a new place. I am going to... There I am. Well, at least half of me.
Come bring over.
Okay.
There you go.
So, you know, I really hate moving. Like, moving is not one of my favorite things to do. And, of course, we had to move. We've moved into a brand new space. And as you can see behind us, we're in the process of... putting everything together, but it's a lovely space. It's lovely and airy and bright. Hot, but that will be resolved next week, right? And we're here in our new space. And so tonight I have a special guest on the show. Her name is Nikki Brown, and she is the Coochie Coach, and I feel like you're right behind me where I actually want you beside me.
I'm beside you.
But
you
anyway, like I just wanted to shit, that's much better. No, I can actually, yes,
okay,
I do. I feel so complete.
Want me to do this?
So, okay. Hi! So, what I wanted to, like, just have a really sort of quick conversation about today, okay, you can't hear me, is I wanted to just, like, first of all, let me breathe because
take a deep breath.
I with moves and stuff, I am totally off kilter.
That's good. Are you gonna get squared away?
I guess it's because like I never moved for 20 years. Then my first move was to America, and then 6 months later, I did a move across the street, and then 3 months later, no, 3 years later, I moved to Brooklyn. And then, like, 13 years later, I moved to the other side of Brooklyn. So I haven't done too much moving in my whole life. Mm. And the first time I moved, I actually just took my clothes and I just let everybody go free for all in the apartment because it kind of freaked me out and I couldn't get my, I just couldn't move. So, and that's how I left. But anyway, let's get over that. Now I've cleared that nonsense. So I just want to like say welcome to the show Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. It's Tuesday. And Tuesday, I always say, is my favorite time of the week because this is where I get to play with each and every one of you. And I get to, you know, serve my curiosity by having people on my show that I find interesting. And so the show is called Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And it's a show for ordinary people living extraordinary lives. And by extraordinary, I mean they're living life their way. They're embracing their life and embracing their own frontier. They're actually creating their own frontier. And I just want to say that this is the information way. This is the information era, right? Technological era. And we're coming out of the industrial era where human beings were... you know, longed for these jobs. They worked on jobs which they would actually be there for the rest of their entire lives, and they would save a little bit of money, and they would have retirement, and basically they would be obsolete.
Absolutely.
Right? They'd be absolutely obsolete. Oh, thank you so much. And so, and it was like old way of being. People were useful until they weren't useful, right? And so now we're in the technological era where people are, their information is valuable. Mm. Everybody has some form of information and everybody has the opportunity to share that information with each and every one of us, right? And we get to actually create life the way we want it to have life. So that being said, oh my God, me and my
hold
mouth.
Hold it like an ice cream cone.
Lick it like a lollipop.
Or suck it. Well, we'll talk about that later.
So, yes. So I want you to sort of use your imagination to have a look at what is your vision, right? What do you want? What is your vision? Does your vision give you energy? Does it get you up in the morning? Does it make you smile? Or does it move you? And so I am really excited actually to have Nikki on the show, because Nikki is like literally an ordinary person creating an extraordinary life and stepping into her vision. And she has coined herself, what do you say? She has
declared or branded. You know, she declared
and branded herself as the Coochie Coach.
Yes.
Right? And Nikki's goal in life is to empower women with about sex and intimacy and have them be connected to their vaginas. Vagina.
In a powerful way.
In a powerful, responsible, amazing, free way.
Absolutely.
So I would just like to take the moment and welcome Nikki to the show. I've just introduced her. And she's going to actually introduce herself and tell us who she is, how she got to be the way she is, and then the conversation, who knows where it's going to go. But what it's going to be yummy. Maybe I need one of those. So
yeah, you do need a clapper. You need me. I'll just do it. Just press that button. You know how to go. So,
she started already.
Yeah, so, like, this is me. Like, I'm happy. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Like, I usually, I'm on my Coochie Coach page.
Right.
So I usually start off by saying, good evening, world. This is Nikki B, right? So thank you. You should be able to hear me. Like, yeah. I know how to handle one of these.
Go ahead.
No. So I am grateful, right, to be here. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for not giving up, because we kind of did tag, you're it. No, you're it. No, I'm not coming. No, fuck the show. You know, you can't curse. I'm sorry. Can you?
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay, good, because I curse a lot. And so thank you for that. Like, in also having this platform and giving me this opportunity to share what it is I believe my message is in life. I mean, this is what the message is at 46.
Right.
It might change at 47. I may be talking about how to bake bread next year.
Oh, my God. No, I can't do
in
that.
In the nude.
Okay.
Baking
in the
bread
shape
in the
of
nude. In
coochie.
The shapes of your tatas. Who
yes,
knows?
That's right.
I mean, I don't know.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, so that's why I'm here. What do you want to know? What do you want
to
say?
So tell me a little bit, who are you? Where do you come from? Are you a native New Yorker? I think you're a native New Yorker,
I'm a
right?
native New Yorker.
Right. Okay, so you're a native New
Born
Yorker.
Born and raised here.
Uh-huh.
I did move, though. Like, I mean, I was listening to you tell your story about moving. So I have moved a lot more than you have,
right?
So I moved cross country. I mean, I moved away to college, right? That was like a big deal. You get to go away to college. You're 17. You're getting freedom. And then I moved into my own apartment. That was a big deal. Like, I'm paying my own bills for the most part. And then I decided as an adult that I didn't want to live in my mother's house anymore. And I moved once I came back to New York and moved to Brooklyn. And it was the worst part of Brooklyn. Oh, you did have to ask. No, it was Brownsville. And Brownsville is nothing like that today.
No.
But Brownsville in the late 90s was like, ugh!
Well, I had friends in Brownsville when I came to visit. I came here in 82 originally. And then I came again in 85. And I used to go to Brownsville. My conversation was like, why is there so much glass everywhere? And why are there, we call them lorries, like you call them, what do you call them, those big cars, van, trucks? Trucks.
We call it a lorry?
Lorry, okay. L-O-R-R-Y. Why is the lorry tipped over on its side? And why are there so many
burned out cars? Yeah, it was Brownsville in the
cars?
80s. Yeah, yeah. So it was a different place, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't love it. We didn't love it. I had roommates. We didn't love it. We got robbed. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, oh, great reason to move. And so we moved to Eastern Parkway across the street from the museum.
Nice.
Very different living.
Oh, very different today.
And they were from like California, Colorado, you know, so. Okay. And so when I left there, I went back to the Bronx and Harlem, Queens, got married, you know, did all that. So I moved a lot. Is the point. And but I've moved a lot here in New York, and I just love New York.
I love New York too.
Yeah. I would leave here though.
No, I wouldn't. I'm opposed. As much as I went home recently and I found that London was beautiful and clean and, you know, highly technological and all this good stuff, I love New York.
Okay.
There's just this thing. There's just this energy here.
It's like my mother. She's never leaving.
Right.
Never. She's never lived
in
any other
place. I'm
not
saying never.
No, she's
it would
never
have
leaving.
To be I could do 50-50, 6 months
someplace
somewhere
else
and 6 months here, but I would always have to come back to New York.
Sounds good.
All right, so tell me, how did you get and brand yourself the coochie coach?
I mean, I'm in the process. I will say...
No, you've been the coochie coach as far as I'm concerned.
That's true, for a while. I just called it something different, right? So it started off me talking about wombs. I was like, oh, I'm the wombologist. Right. And I got that from my mentor, and I always have to give her a shout out. Queen Afua, like, trained the hell out of us to have some real power and dominion over our bodies from a spiritual, mental, physical, right place. And I realized that wasn't my authentic voice. It just wasn't. That's not the way that I talk. I had to find my voice.
Right.
And so I moved away from being the wombologist, and I went to the full left extreme, and I was like, I want to be the pussy. You know, I'm going to talk about pussy. And so I would call it, the event that I created was called My Pussy Matters, and it was like this whole like revolution around just taking power for that word back and also owning it, right, as this woman, you know, who wanted to go on this journey. And then I realized I am a mompreneur.
Right.
And it was cool if you have a 22-year-old. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so cool if I have a 5-year-old, and how does she explain what her mother does to her class with some dignity, some pride. And my daughter doesn't use profanity at all. Like some kids are like, yay, I get a chance to use that. She's like, oh, mommy, could you not? And I'm like, sometimes I won't.
Who is she?
Yeah, right? She's definitely from another. The other 23 chromosomes is that. So I realized I wanted to have something that she could say, that we both could have a conversation about and have some power around it, and not have it be shameful and embarrassing, because in the 21st century, talking about coochie is still a big deal. So yeah, so that's how I, you know.
So how does your daughter describe you now?
Now she's good with this. She can say the word. There's no like taboo in the space. Right. It's something you can talk about even with your friends.
Right.
When I was I was editing the book, and Noreen. Oh, I was editing the book, and she was like, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm editing the book before I send it to the publisher. And she says, well, what's the name of the book? So I said, it's called Coochie Care. And she's like, what's that? I was like, well, you know how you clean your poo-poo? You know, I'm trying to find a way to explain it. And she was like, oh, I need a book like that. And so I said, oh, then maybe we should make Coochie Care for kids.
Right.
And so that's how the conversations continue. But they started way back when, before she could talk, there was this comfort, this thing around the house that I was never going to have her be embarrassed about the most sacred part of her body that I think.
So is that something, is that the being not embarrassed about the most sacred part of her body, was that somewhere you came from as a child?
Absolutely. I mean, in my home, at home with my mother, I felt like there was a 50-50, right? Mm-hmm. There was some empowerment, and then there was some, you better not get too empowered.
Right.
Or you could say this word, but you couldn't say that word.
Well, I'm going to ask you to pause that. That's tasty and juicy, and we're going to come right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hey,
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I am having a conversation with the Coochie Coast, Nikki Brown. So we were, at the end of the break, I talked about like the sacredness and the comfort of mm-hmm. your vagina in your mother's house. Mm-hmm. What was that like? So
I mean,
on one hand, it was
right. It was good, like that 50-50 split, side, right? Yeah. So there, it's okay to talk about it, but there were words that you maybe couldn't use that might have been taboo. And so I grew up kind of with like this shameful liberation,
right.
if that, right? So you get to kind of have this power, yet you can't express it too much, mm-hmm. right? Because right. of the era that my mother was born in, right? She's from the 50s and 60s.
Right.
And then me, right? 70s right. baby, burn your bras, whatever.
Right.
And so I think I was an honorary bra burner, before I knew that like, even was a thing.
A
right. Before I even wore a bra. Because for me, my sister, right? It's funny. So my sister said to me one day, I explained to her what I was doing. And my sister's very religious.
I didn't know you had a sister.
Well, my mother only has me.
Oh, okay.
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but these are my older siblings. I'm the youngest one.
Right.
And so my sister, I was explaining to her what I was doing, what I was starting to birth.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that's interesting and very apropos because mm-hmm. you were 16 in the kitchen talking to the women about that. She called it that.
Right.
And I said, okay, what's that? And so she said, well, you were talking about sex.
Uh-huh.
Right? She's whispering. She's like 10 years older than me.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. I was talking about sex. She said, but then you were like empowered at 16. I said, so why didn't anyone tell me? Because I could have saved some time and made some money long before now, right? So that's 30 years of having this conversation and thinking, growing up, thinking like something was wrong.
Right.
Like I was bad or maybe I was too loose or maybe I was, what's that word? Promiscuous, right? And that's a bad thing. Girls are not supposed to want to have sex.
Right.
Or talk about it.
Right. So growing up, I don't think I knew the word vagina for a while, but I knew the word pum pum, right? Because I'm Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So we referred to it as, the vagina has so many different names,
the pum pum,
right? So I knew about my pum pum. I knew I had to wash my pum pum.
Right.
I knew I had to, couldn't show my pum pum to the boys.
right. Wash it and keep it a secret.
No, it wasn't.
No, and hide it. No, it's fine.
It wasn't a secret and it wasn't something that I consciously hid because my mother was a nudist.
Okay.
So, my mother would traipse around the house with no clothes. And it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like my brothers go, oh, pussy, I want to get my mother. No.
Right, no, of course not.
It was none of that. But, yeah, and we're all pretty much, I'm pretty much naked in my house. And I, from the age of 13, I really didn't sleep in clothes. Mm. And so pum pum vagina was just there.
Right.
It wasn't, which I knew that my father said, don't get pregnant and bring anything in here, right? Bring a baby or get pregnant or that kind of stuff. But my sister did get pregnant and she did bring a baby in and she did get a shotgun wedding and all of that good stuff. But like I never had I just knew that at 16 that was the legal age and that was when I was going to do it, and that's when I did
legal age to have sex. Oh, okay.
Yeah, to have sex.
Okay.
Legal
in terms of like the law legal or legal in your house?
No, law legal.
Oh, okay.
Because and I realized that was the law legal because my mother couldn't tell me otherwise.
Okay.
Because the law was the law. I was of age, so
Got
I could
it.
Do it.
What would happen if you broke the law?
What
would
you
get stoned? I mean, I
don't know.
I
but
mean, like if you did it at
no,
15,
you know what?
What would happen?
Oh, people did it at 12. I had friends that did it at 12 and 13.
Yeah,
but like I knew that I loved the comfort of my home and my father threatened me with like, if you did it, you're going to be out of this house.
Wow.
And I was like, I had my own room. It was cool and everything. And I figured
the comforts, right.
Yeah,
right.
I liked
right.
my
okay.
comforts.
I figured the comfort of being here.
I figured I could hang out until I was 12. And plus who did I know?
Right.
Nobody, really. So, okay. So now, did you take it to mainstream?
Wow.
Pum pum.
Pum pum. Pocketbook. Somebody told me they called it a pocketbook.
You're going to have to tell me about that pocketbook.
I was like, what is that? So when I do the workshop sometimes, right, I have women, you know, different things. I do different things at different times. But this one particular workshop, I wanted to know what names people call the female anatomy. Because I was like, I don't really use the word vagina. It sounds very clinical. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I like funny words. That's how I ended up being the coochie coach. I like alliteration. So I would have the, I had the women come up with these names. Tell me what they were taught.
Right.
And one woman told me pocketbook. And I said, damn.
Because when you wrote that on your...
on my Instagram?
on the Instagram, pocketbook, it did not even...
Register
for me as a vagina or a pom-pom or whatever, right? And I was like, well, why are we going to talk about pocketbooks? Okay,
That was one of the names. So I liked it because it doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard before. Right. And I thought, okay, a pocketbook. We put a lot of shit into our pocketbooks, don't we?
Right.
We put a lot of things. A lot of things get gathered around. A lot of dust milling around in the pocketbook. What if we took time to clean it out, right? So, I mean, so I just kind of created my own connection to the cooch from the pocketbook. Uh-huh. So now when I write things sometimes, I usually use pocketbook because I kind of like it. And I was like, it's not the ordinary name. I mean, most people, I had never heard pocketbook before.
I've never heard to it referred to
it.
I've
heard a lot of things, but pocketbook wasn't it.
What's some of the things that you've...
They said pocketbook. It was poom poom poo poo.
Punani.
Nana. Punani. Pussy. Coochie. So many people. Down there. Okay, so I met a woman. Like I was in, where did I go? I went to Florida in December last year. And I was talking to this woman. She's like 60-something years old. And she's like, down there. And I was like, ma'am, down there? At 60-something, really? But that was her, you know?
Well, you know, there was this program that I watched on TV. It's called, it's something about nurses. And this was about nurses in the 40s and 50s. And women referred to it as down there. They'd never said the word. They didn't even, half of them didn't even know the word. And there was a woman in one of these classes that she said she couldn't do the exercises too much because she couldn't cough because water, she would pee herself.
Okay.
And so what happened, she said that I put things in there to block it up. And she put like paper and she, all this stuff that she'd put in her vagina. I like saying vagina, right?
Fine.
And, she hadn't gone to see the doctor about it because she was so embarrassed to show her vagina. And it was a simple thing as a stitch.
Wow.
But I say this to say that there are still women today that are walking around with a conversation of not going to the doctors because they're embarrassed or ashamed to actually spread it for the doctor.
Absolutely.
Now, so tell me about, like, because I know with some of my clients that I've spoken to in the past, vagina conversations, vagina health, gynecological checkups has been a thing of fear for a lot of women.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want to hear anything bad.
Bad. You don't want to hear anything negative. So I mean, I've been going to the gynecologist, maybe 18, 17, you know, early.
Right.
Like, but my mom was a let's go to the doctor type of person. Like, we go to get checkups. We go. So when it got to that stage in my life where I had to go to the gynecologist, that to me was just a normal thing.
Right.
It wasn't an ordeal.
Right.
It was, I go to the GYN, you go to the GYN.
Right.
You know, my mother would have a conversation like, if you bung it, you need to go to the doctor.
Right.
Right? Because that's...
you can say that.
Right. If you're getting on, you know, you're getting busy, you should...
Go
know what's
checkup.
Happening
Absolutely.
In your vaginal area in case something is going left
right.
and you can fix it.
Right.
A lot of times the ignoring it is what has things build up
right.
like at the bottom of a pocketbook.
So my crumbs. So I went to the gynecologist or my general practitioner before I actually had sex.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was very responsible.
Oh, yeah. Girl, you don't know.
I'm proactive. Look at
so
that.
So I read a book. I read The Joy of Sex. Went to the gynecologist. Got the pill. Waited 5 weeks.
Well, Noreen, so I'm going to... Can I stop you there?
Sure.
So I did nothing like that.
A lot of people
don't. I rolled the dice. Bam! And it was like, shit. Crapshoot, you know, like I played the game of Russian roulette with my vagina. So that's really how I ended up being here, because I realized I had had some experiences that weren't so great and weren't so positive,
right,
related to my vagina. And I was like, I don't want other people to have that experience.
Right.
And because I'm a person that is constantly evaluating myself, right, I felt like, well, who else better to do it than me?
Right.
Because I don't have anything attached to the negative experience.
Right.
I turned that negative into a positive.
Right.
Somebody touched you. Okay, great. They touched me. It must be something. Let me get through that. Let me heal that. Let me address that. But now how do I empower myself enough to empower other people,
right,
particularly young people, so that we are not in the same predicament 20 years from now talking,
right,
about down there.
Down there where?
Down there where? Like, really? And down, and my thing when I'm talking to people is everybody wants to have sex, but nobody wants to talk about sex.
Right. And what I've discovered is that, like, you know, I like to educate my lovers, right? I like to share with them what I like, and I actually like them to look at it. And I don't like the darkness. I like the light, right? So what is the experience of your clients? And before and after. So before they meet you, what's the world like?
Yeah,
and then
I mean,
after they meet
I say I have a gamut of conversations that run through the people that I meet. So they go from rated G to rated triple X.
Okay.
And I can go through all of them.
Okay,
right?
Tell me the rated
G. So rated G, we know rated G movies, it's usually a cartoon. It's not, you know, there's definitely no profanity.
Right.
There is some, you know, lots of filters at rated G. And triple X, there are no filters, right? You can go anywhere. And then there are all the ratings in between.
Right.
And I have had women in a room from ages 13 to 67 talking about sex and intimacy.
Right.
And the 13-year-old could sound more empowering than the 35-year-old, given the conversation or the nature of her learning before this 35-year-old.
Right.
And so my experience has been...
What's the most shocking that you've heard?
Probably that 60-something-year-old woman talking about down there. I mean, for me, it was, but I don't really believe that I get shocked, right? Because I've had personal experiences.
Well,
that's
shocking. Let me rephrase that then. Most concerning, like, where, you know, this woman needs support. The pocketbook.
Yeah, and because we are still at this stage in life where the president says, I grabbed somebody by the pussy, but we don't want to say it.
Right.
And we got pussies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we're walking around with them. Or people who read my book, and it's like 21 days to, you know, ways to take care of your vagina. And
right,
it's like, oh, I didn't know that a bath was different than a shower.
Oh.
Yeah, soak that thing. You know what I mean? Like, who people don't know.
We're going to hold that thought because
I'm
going to come back into that.
Yeah.
And we'll be when we're right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight we're speaking to Nikki Brown, the Coochie Coach.
Hey.
And her daughter in makeup.
and makeup. We can see you. There you go.
Give them a waves. See, and that's the beauty of you and your conversation. It is freely expressed. It is. Nikki sent me a text today, can she bring her daughter? And I'm like, absolutely, you can bring your daughter. Because here's the thing, I'm not a mother, but there are a lot of women who are, you know, taking their lives on. They have children, they have responsibilities. Sometimes there's no babysitter, mm-hmm. and they got to make it work.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm committed to, is that women being women, fully mm-hmm. engaged with their children, absolutely. Doing what they have to do. So yeah. come back and tell me about the... The book, the stages.
Oh, yeah. So it's a 20, because I say that it takes 21 days to make or break a new habit.
Right.
And so I figured if you took 21 days to employ these practices on mm-hmm. how to take care of your vagina, then you'd have greater, more deep vaginal health and wellness.
Okay.
Right? And so...
Shower
versus a bath.
Okay.
And so in the book, it talks about one day take a bath. So a woman came back and was like, I didn't even think about that. I was like, yeah, they're building houses now without bathtubs.
Uh-huh.
Bathtubs are essential for vaginal wellness.
Right.
Like, you can take a shower, that's great, that's quick, that's cool, but sometimes you gotta soak it...
Soak that thing.
Yeah, clean it out. You know what I'm saying? Throw some Epsom salt in that tub. And if for nothing else, like relaxation, you know, like to give back to yourself, give back to your body. As women, we're constantly giving out, expressing. And mm-hmm. it's like, when do you give back to you to restore?
I haven't taken a bath in a while. I used to take baths every single night.
That's what I'm saying.
I just haven't taken a bath in a while.
Because we're in a rush to go where? Yeah.
I am in a rush.
Yeah.
Sitting in a rush to go
to bed.
But you know what? I'll sit in that shower for a really long time.
Yeah, but you're not getting the nooks and crannies.
Sit in the bathtub every single night. It's made
very different experience.
Maybe because I hate my tub right now and I need a new one.
Yeah, that's it. Give that up and
transform
it. Yeah, be grateful.
So now, what's another one?
What else did I say? What was something else? I didn't say this in the book, but I have this thing called the jewels and gems of coochie care.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I talk
the
about...
Jewels and gems.
It's like these little tips. So one of them was to eat pineapples,
uh-huh.
right? And pineapples, like, are natural, like, cleansers and things like mm-hmm. that, but they provide a sweetness when you eat them for your vagina. And so, like, if you've got a partner, they'd appreciate that, right? So it was one of those kind of tips.
It goes right to my sugar.
Right. Well, you got to monitor it if you got some, you know, diabetes that you got to control. But it also is just a fun way to play and to take care of your body.
Like a detox, you're saying?
Well, I wouldn't call it a detox.
You wouldn't call it,
a toxin.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
An intake.
What's another?
So what else did I say? One of the things that I talked about was going to the spa,
mm-hmm.
right? To take this day of like massage and restoration
mm-hmm.
because it's about healing yourself, all your mind, body, and soul.
Right.
And so I realized like I used to go to the spa maybe like every other week. It was like a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like going to church, mm-hmm. going to the mosque, like whatever it was. I went every other week because I felt like this was important to my overall well-being.
Right.
And so in the spa experience, there was this room where you just had women and we could go into the hot tub naked. And it was like, oh, how wonderful is this, you know? And then you had these various temperatures that cater to the healing of your body. So
what's some of the things that you would like women to actually know about you and coochie? Being a coochie coach.
I say that I'm ruthlessly compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
So I am straightforward. Mm-hmm. I am direct. I pull no punches, mm-hmm. but I am compassionate about wherever a person is, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm compassionate about where I am, right? I know a lot of shit, but I don't know everything. My journey has been my journey. Your journey is your journey. Mm-hmm. I have the ears and the capacity to listen and understand mm-hmm. for wherever you are. I say mm-hmm. rated G to triple X.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no judgment.
Right.
Right. Because I don't know.
Because I've already done that.
Right. Like, there is no judgment because we don't know what it takes to overcome a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use my life. My life is an open book because I know that a lot of people have closed books.
Right.
Right. In their lives. And so I share my shit openly and freely so that you can get something for yourself and perhaps find some safety in my language and get to a place that works for you that you could share so that you could get freedom ultimately around your vagina.
So there's a statistic that says 1 in 5 women in their lifetime will be raped, right? And then they say 1 in 4 when they go to, girls go to college. How would you, so rape meaning dating, date rape, that's like, or being raped by your boyfriend. Like, how does one take care of themselves or come back? Wow, look at this makeup.
You see this? Yeah, she's got it done, baby. My babe is made up, baby. So, yeah, so how does someone come
how
back?
Does, how does somebody come back from a situation like that?
Well, well, I'll say that a statistic that I spoke about at a lecture once is every 97 seconds, someone on the planet is what I call being sexually mishandled.
Right.
So it could be rape, it could be fondling, it could be molestation, it could be incest, it could be verbal harassment, but every 97 seconds. And then I go into this spiel about my 97 seconds happened when, right? And so for me, how I managed my mishandling, molestation, was that when I got to a place that I could verbalize it, I went to therapy.
Right.
I think that a lot of people think that therapy is a bad thing. I love therapy. It is not the answer to everything. It is not the answer for everybody, but I think everybody should try it, should test it. One, that was it. Two, I didn't blame myself.
Right.
Right. And at 46 now, I have learned to forgive the abuser.
Right.
So, because it's not for him,
right.
It was for me. I needed freedom around it.
Right.
So I sought help. I tell everybody I live my life like a 12-step program. Like, whatever that shit is for you. Like, every first thing you have to admit that something is not right and exact. Yeah. And so for an issue such as being raped or molested or violated, male, female, or whatever, you want to acknowledge that the thing did happen. It doesn't make you who you are.
Right.
And it doesn't determine your future.
Right.
Right. And it doesn't even mean that who you were then was even somebody bad, wrong, or disgusting.
Right.
It's just some person, right, took advantage of you in that moment, and you now have something to manage. So I think for me, I use it as my soapbox, right? So it's kind of the thing that has me be able to level up my conversations around healing, because I am straightforward about that thing,
right?
It doesn't mean that my life is over. Right. It's an egregious thing that took place. I remember when I shared it with a couple of my family members, the first thing one of my family members wanted to know was, well, was it this? Like, wanted to like give it a kind of a rating. Right. Like, how bad was it kind of thing? And my conversation is like, does it fucking matter?
Right.
Like, he touched me and he shouldn't have.
Right.
I was 8. And the fuck he wasn't.
Right.
Right? And so I had to keep dealing with someone else's lack of information and ignorance around it. And I felt like I was defending myself as the quote unquote victim, the person being violated. And then I said, you know what? I don't have to justify myself to you. I don't have to give you the story.
Right.
Because her thing was also too, well, could you tell me what happened? Fuck no. I don't have to revisit the issue for you to get comfort around how you think it occurred, so that in your mind, right, you can level my fucking pain,
because
you can't, right?
So I hear you on that, and then I was thinking about, you know, people that get violated, children that get abused, children that are holding and hiding secrets
Michelle.
They shouldn't be holding and hiding secrets. Then you have to go to a medical situation and get checked. So it's violation on top of violation, right? How would you speak to your clients about managing that?
You mean multiple violations?
Yeah, well, you got raped or molested, and then you have to go get a checkup and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, again, it is like the acknowledgement of the situation. There is, find a safe person that you can trust after that experience, who could hold your freaking hand through the journey. I used my mom, because my mom is somebody I could tell any damn thing to, even if I know she's not going to agree with it. Ultimately, she's still my mother. You find someone who you could trust after that experience. And I mean, like, trust the information and trust the support and the journey, because the journey for everybody is different. It is forever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop.
Right.
And so each time, because I realize if we don't address it, we're doomed to have a situation be repeated.
Right.
A lot of times it's because we aren't self-aware.
Right.
I talk to her all the time. She leaves the house, she comes back. I'm like, let me check. We check the poo-poo, open your legs. Anybody touched you? Like that.
Right.
That, so those kinds of things have to happen. We have to begin to have an open dialogue. As women, we have to stop shaming one another and have it be okay that this thing occurred for you in your life, and now you have an ally out here, you know, in the ranks of womanhood.
Right. Cool. That's really great. So now I want to ask you about sex and United States and sex in other countries. Who do you say? Because when I first came here, I thought, based upon television, I thought that America was very
liberated.
Extremely.
Shit.
And it wasn't.
Child, that's what you think, right?
Yes.
Well, that's the great American, you know, veil, right? The lie about being an American. It's like, oh, we got everything. We're free for all. La, la, la. Bullshit.
Do that again?
Bullshit. Like, you know, we got right to say whatever you want until we want to filter you, until we want to put a lid on that. So I haven't been to other countries to talk about sex completely yet.
Uh-huh.
I've been...
What about, sex and TV?
But I've been in a lot of arenas
where
people from different places talk about sex.
Right.
And they have a different way in which they communicate about it that's a lot more liberated than the people I know.
And what would you say that way is?
That it's not taboo. A lot of stuff is not taboo. That maybe even in their expression of it on television is different. American TV, the television, right? Tell lies with the vision. So it gives you this illusion that you can just do whatever,
right?
Until you actually do it.
You don't see penis on American TV.
You don't see penis on American TV, but you see tits, right? They'll show
you'll
you
see
some
tits. Yes.
And my thing is my breasts are just as sacred as a penis.
Right.
But why is it okay for you to show that then and not show the penis? So it's, very patriarchal, America, right? They want to make sure that the man is often protected and the identity of the man is protected, gay, straight, or otherwise, but the woman's body or the female anatomy is free for all and then vilified.
Right.
Right? So I'm just I'm an exhibitionist at heart, although I wouldn't go outside with nothing on because I am heavily trained in being a Catholic schoolgirl, and a Muslim, so all those things played a part into my psyche and to but it was also a fight, right? Because I'm really not that way. But society made me think I needed to cover everything and hide it all because it's cute.
There was something I was going to ask. Okay. This is something I was going to say. Oh, so when we come back, I want to touch on the subject between race and sexuality. It's black and white, the differences. And I know you work with all people.
Yes,
so I just want to engage in that conversation.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah, I just want to see.
Because it's gotten deeper than just black and white and
Okay, all right, so we'll be right back.
Michelle,
you're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
And we're back.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm with Nikki Brown. Nikki Brown, come on, that name.
A.K.A. The Coochie Coach. Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny?
I always think of Foxy Brown. I always think of like 1960s, big afro, you know, goddess type. That's what comes to my mind.
Absolutely. Well, when you said Foxy Brown, see, I immediately went to hip hop.
Right.
We got a Foxy Brown rapper.
I know. I wasn't thinking of that Foxy Brown.
But
I was thinking
of Pam Grier.
Yeah. That Foxy Brown.
I mean, you know, it's funny because my name is like so simple and there are a gazillion Nicole Browns on the planet. And there's something about my name, Nikki Brown, that when I meet people or even people that I know, I've known for years.
I would never call you Nicole.
They say the whole name.
Right. Nikki Brown.
It's not just Nikki. It's like Nikki Brown. Like, that's my name.
Yeah, that is your name. That's your whole name.
Yeah,
Nikki
that's
Brown.
My whole name. And so, Nicole. No one, I don't even use that
Nicole,
anymore.
That is so not you.
Nicole is like vagina. Clinical as hell. You know what I'm saying? What's your name?
Nicole. My name is Nicole Brown.
Nicole Brown.
And I have a vagina.
Right. The Nicole Brown vagina.
And I never look at it.
Right. Talk about looking at it. So I talk about that, right, in the book. So looking at it, right? So I talk about getting a mirror and investigating your own vagina. You spoke earlier about, I like my lovers to look at it, right? Well, I want to know what it looks like before I have anybody else investigate it.
Right.
It's like doing a breast exam, right? If you feel a lump, you should go run to the doctor. Well, how do you know what you like if you've never touched it?
Right.
If you don't even know what's there in order to touch it.
You're calling it a pocketbook.
The pocketbook. Like, you know how you dig around in your pocketbook looking for shit? I'm telling you, there's something to this pocketbook and the poom poom. You run around looking in your pocketbook like, what's down there? You look at your vagina, you're like, oh shit, what is that? I didn't know
exactly.
That was there.
I've been looking at mine since I don't know when.
Yeah, and it's still like every time you look at it, there's something new, especially as I get older.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, is something descending coming from, what is that? It's like the womb, but you don't even know. Is that my cervix?
Oh God.
Like so many things going on.
That's because you've had babies though.
Well, shit, I don't know, because I've only seen mine.
Oh, that's another thing. Yes, I have seen other.
So I don't know.
So speaking of, you know, we wanted to go into the, you know, the black, white thing about the vaginas. But like, let's step back a bit. I have seen another woman's vagina. Mm-hmm. Like when I did Mama Gina a good gazillion years ago, we all had to show our vaginas and we all had to look at different vaginas.
To people?
Yeah, each other.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we're in the room.
That's some next level shit right there.
Yeah, so we're in the room and we're looking at each other's vaginas and stuff. And we also did a workshop where, you know, we donned gloves and the guy could fondle your thing, your vagina, and you could fondle his penis. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, no coming.
Right.
But just to sort of like practice the art of it, I guess. And so what was I saying? So looking at the vagina has been something that is really important to me. And I think that also touching my vagina and masturbating, you know, is important.
The big M.
Yeah, the big M, right? Masturbation. I love it. Right.
One of my favorite pastimes.
No, but like you have to be able to provide pleasure for yourself.
Absolutely.
So that you can provide pleasure, so that you can tell somebody how to provide pleasure for you. Now, one of the things is like if I haven't shared or if I don't know about what I need for myself, how am I going to tell you?
Absolutely.
Have you found this with your women?
Absolutely. I mean, I tell my story. I've been masturbating. Hi, Stink. Perfect timing. Probably since I was this age.
Right.
And like really like knowing sensory feeling, you know, that kind of thing. Then it was shameful and embarrassing. So if anybody's coming, you better stop and you better hide and pretend like you sleep. But then I realized, you know, so many people don't know what to request in the pleasure zone because they haven't gone there themselves.
Right.
And so I encourage it. I sell sex toys. You know, we talk about it at those sex toy parties. I think that it is a conversation that could never be exhausted because so many people, so many women are not having that conversation. They don't think that it's important or they don't think it's valuable. Or you even talk about sharing it with a partner, letting a partner know this is what I like.
Yeah.
That's for too many people. That's a foreign thing. We leave it up to the whoever's the dominant partner. It could be male, female, doesn't matter. But whoever is the dominant partner is who we allow to dictate the pleasure.
Well, I have heard many people say that if he doesn't know what I like, that's his problem.
And that's disgusting.
But I don't know how, like, okay, like going back to seeing another woman's vagina. Like I said, I saw it in a class, and all vaginas are different. There are some with big clitorises, some with small ones, some with fat, thin, all kinds of different labias and stuff like that, and all different kind of vulvas and stuff like that. And I'm glad I'm not a man because it's a lot of work.
Yeah,
right.
It's a lot of work
because what one woman likes, another woman might not like. One woman, you might say, I'm a big woman. Of course, you know, you might think I have a big vulva, or I might have a tiny one.
Right.
Or
how deep is it?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Or is it tip, not tip? There's a lot of things that, and if you don't know these things about your body, you can't share it.
Absolutely.
And I think, and so seeing a vagina, you know, there was always this conversation, like when you get to a certain age, it gets dry and crispy. Well, they didn't say crispy.
You added the crispy part, like a piece of chicken. You can get Popeye's chicken straight out the cooch.
And don't tell anyone because you'll be molested.
right.
Yeah, so they were saying, you know, like, well, after a certain age, your vagina, menopause and stuff like that, your vagina dries, gets dry. Yes, some women do, some women don't, right? But you can't, like, the vagina that I saw of a woman that was in her 60s or whatever, and the one of somebody that's in their 20s or 30s, it really wasn't any difference. There was women that had babies and women that hadn't any babies. I'm not a vagina connoisseur, so I couldn't tell which, but they looked the same to me.
Right.
So, you know, all these conversations, these myths and conversations that, like, oh, it's dry, is this or whatever. You know, or the vagina is this big, her vagina is this big, you know.
And here's the thing, it's a
muscle.
The thing, right, it's totally a muscle, right? Use some Kegels, right, to make sure the muscle stays tight. But I think that for me, right, I always take it back to myself and then I let somebody else tell shit because I only know my own cooch.
Right.
And so my cooch looks different from when I was 19, before children, and it looks different after children. Not bad.
Right.
And because I had 8 pounders come out of it doesn't mean that I can take an 8 pound dick. Like, that doesn't mean it either. Like an 8 pound baby, right? But I'm just saying, or that I want, like this massive, humongous, you know, because people think, oh, then you, that means you can take a big one. But everybody doesn't like that, right?
Right.
But my thing is, where was I going with this? Why did I bring up the 8 pound?
But
it's the difference, right? The difference in what it looks like over time.
Right.
It's like any muscle in the body. If you use it, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? And if you don't strengthen it, it gets weak. It just, you know, like I can just do whatever. I'm flying. But so I realize for me, the way that I'm going
to do my Kegels right now.
Right, you better do your Kegels. The way that I know that it's, and men do them too to keep their prostate on point. So I think that what happens is in the paying attention to the female anatomy that you get to determine how it will be going down the line.
Right.
And dry, whatever. I think that there are herbs and teas and tinctures and oils for everything.
Right.
You just have to find the one for you. My mother.
You have to care.
Care enough to do it, right? I use my mother as my guide. Whatever's going on with her most likely will happen over here with me. She's 69. She ain't seen a dry day yet. So I think I'll take that.
I think you'll be fine.
I think I'll be fine.
So, Nikki, tell me what's going on with you in the next couple of weeks. Anything you got going on in 30 days? Any programs?
Let's see. What do I have going on? I mean, I've got a lot going on. I think, you know, people are like, oh, you got to focus on one thing. I'm like, yeah, I am focusing on one thing, cooch. And everything in between is extra. So everything that I talk about, everything that I do always relates back to pussy talk. So I am in the process of creating a magazine, online magazine. It's called the Pink Pages Mag.
Mm-hmm.
So it caters to the whole conversation around different vaginas. Doesn't matter. They all internally, it's some pink looking thing, right?
Doesn't matter what color you are.
Doesn't matter what color you are externally.
Different
inside
shades of pink.
Is pink, baby. So got the Pink Pages Mag. I have the Coochie Con at dawn coming up. It's from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's an, you know, workshop style.
Maybe you'll show some pum-pum.
Well, I don't know. It depends on the audience. You know, the guy who owns the studio, he's like, even if they want to get naked, they can, you know. Right. And we were like, well, I don't know if we're going to do that, but we never know where we could go. But it's a one-day workshop, and it's early in the day because I believe that those are the best creative times at 6 a.m., 4 a.m., like that kind of thing. I get up early, and by 12 o'clock on a Saturday, you still have the rest of your day to go out, do the things that you do with your children, your family, and things of that nature. On the 22nd, I'll be taping, I think it's a YouTube. No, maybe it's not a YouTube. It's like a BronxNet show or something. Miss Francois. So she has a show in BronxNet, I believe. And I'll be on that show. It's going to be totally clean. It's for family. So I have to, you know, wash my mouth out with soap before I go on.
This is our last segment, right? You know, because I have to double check. It goes so quick, doesn't it? Didn't I tell you?
It's over.
So where can people
find you?
It's
like a quickie. You can find me at thecoochiecoach.com, at thecoochiecoach on Instagram.
Spell it, spell it, spell it.
We know what the emperor's at sign is. The, T-H-E, coochie, C-O-O-C-H-I-E, coach, C-O-A-C-H.
Right. .com.
And that's the handle for everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
And what do you want to leave people with today? What would you like to leave our listeners with? Because people pick this up.
I like people to walk away with, it's okay to love her. It's okay to like her.
Create a relationship
with your vagina. Absolutely. It's okay to embrace her. It's okay to discuss her in private and in public. It's okay to look at her. Like, she's...
Admire her.
She's beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Nikki, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you,
Noreen.
For coming on the show. I appreciate this.
Absolutely. And as always, you're doing your thing, and I love it.
So let me say bye to my little... So, good evening, world. This is Nikki B, coming live and direct, straight from... What's the name of this show?
Beyond Potential.
Beyond Potential. Oh, this is some good shit right here. Thank you for watching. Peace.
And thank you for being on the show. I really, really appreciate you coming. It was
I appreciate
a pleasure.
Did you
Did you have fun?
I did. I enjoyed the hell out of myself. Now I got to get home and get out of bed for school.
I know, right?
I got to be like a good mom.
Miles, do you want to say bye-bye?
Oh, wait. We turned it off already.
Go on. Say bye-bye on my camera. Right here.
Over here. You want to go on that camera?
Right there.
No?
All right.
All
good
right.
night.
So thank you all. See you next week. Thanks for joining. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you
love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.